Larry Weber, educator, author, naturalist, and all-around good guy, joins us this morning for Backyard Almanac. Howdy there, sunshine.
Yeah, good morning, good morning. How are you doing?
Well, I understand that tomorrow, at least during the day, there is no mention of wind chill in the forecast. It's
well,
still well below freezing.
Yes.
But there are no little minuses in front of anything. And I think everybody, I think many people, not everybody, many people and their heating bills are finding this double digits below business a little tedious by now.
Yeah, we had 16 below here again this morning. For those who keep records in there, excuse me, there are lots who don't. But those who keep records, this is the 12th straight day where we've had below zero, at least sometime during the day. And almost 40, 4-0, almost 40 for the whole winter. We will have below zero. You're talking about warming up a little bit tomorrow. It's still going to be chilly in the morning, but it will warm up a little bit later. Next week, though, I think we will see above zero for the entire day. So as it is right now in February, and here we are on the 9th, we have an average temperature for the month so far of below zero. This is considerably colder than January. And as I said, it's going to start warming up next week. February is one of these weird months where very often the first half and the second half have a huge difference. So I expect that will be happening again. We did get some other things of note. We got a little bit of snowfall twice, and I'll comment about that a little bit later. I just love February snows. Last Saturday was a great example. February snows usually don't amount to very much. It's not like enough to, you know, try up the traffic and cancel school and all that. It's usually just a few inches, and it's dry powder, and I just love it, and that's what we had last Saturday. Now, we had, in addition to that, we had some wind, and depending on where you were, I was over in Wisconsin, and yes, we got the lake effect, but it was quite a beautiful snow. Other things of note, this chilly weather and the winds and so forth have changed the ice on Lake Superior quite a lot. Now, living where I do, I don't get to see Lake Superior that often, but I did get to see it yesterday. And with the chilly temperatures in the morning, I did see the mist rising over the lake, which is to be expected. But the surprise came later in the day when I got down closer to the lake. And I saw the pretty good size expanse of ice out on the lake. And then, yes, the ice anglers were out there. There was some ice fishing huts. And it's amazing. Nobody gets out on the ice quicker than those who want to do some fishing. And wow, it was amazing. But it is quite a sight to see. Now, that's not an unusual thing to see for February. Our biggest expanse of ice on Lake Superior usually happens later in the winter onto early March. It's also the time of the deepest snowpack as we get into March. Now we'll see how much that continues to go. Now, Lisa, you are an early riser, so you probably have been seeing the phenomenal show we've been having this week. You know, last week a little over a week ago, with the talk about the blue moon and the lunar eclipse and so forth, there was a lot of references to the moon, but to me, the show was just spectacular every early morning this week. And that was, we have the waning moon, and it goes from gibbous to quarter to crescent. And we are about in the waning crescent phase right now. Well, as it was in the early morning sky to the south, there was also what appeared to be a bright star near it. That is the planet Jupiter. And there were a couple of mornings where they appear to be quite close. Now, we have to say appear. They are nowhere near each other. But they appear to be quite close in the sky. And I think it was just a beautiful sight to see every morning. Also, the sunrises, the sunsets continue to be phenomenal. We have this low angle of the sun, and it just kind of gives a wraparound to the whole sunrise and sunset. And speaking of sunrise, sunset, it is getting, the sunrises keep getting earlier, the sunsets keep getting later, and yesterday, February 8th, we reached 10 hours of daylight for the first time since about Halloween. And yes, that's over 3 months. it's going to continue. And by the end of the month, we will already be up to 11 hours of daylight. So, yes, February is a short month, but it really shows an increasing in light. Other things of note, I've been keeping to watch bird feeder continuously. I watch it every day. I had quite an amazing day. This was about a week ago. I had I normally get maybe 10 to 12 different species of birds that come to the bird feeder. The numbers of those birds varies often, but it is usually about that much. Well, last week I had one day of 15 kinds showing up at the bird feeder on the same day. That was the record. I had never had that many before. These included four kinds of woodpeckers. It included the chickadees, the nuthatches, the blue jays. The finches were well represented by two kinds of redpolls, the common redpoll and the very unusual hoary redpoll showed up that day. Goldfinches had returned after being gone for a month. There was also pine grosbeaks. There was also junco still hanging around. And then there were the wild turkeys and even some crows. So I said 15 kinds in one day. Wow, fascinating thing to see. The fluctuation of the birds at the bird feeder will continue. The flock of redpolls, now mixing with some goldfinches, is getting larger. We had for a while, we had about 30 in the flock, and now I estimate now it's over 40. And I think that will probably continue. As long as they're going to find food, word's going to spread. Pine grosbeaks are interesting. I had as many as 15 on a flock that showed up, but their numbers fluctuate quite a bit. And I expect they're on their way down. They are a very early bird to leave the bird feeders and go back north, and they're usually gone by the end of February already, so we'll see just what happens. There is a lot of looking for owls going on in February, and I talked to a few people who had been seeing great gray owls and such. Yes, the great gray owls, hawk owls are around if you want to do some searching, snowy owls if you want to do some searching. Boreal owls are a little bit harder to find, but I always think don't overlook our resident owls. We have barred owls and great horned owls that become more active as we get into February as well, so that's another thing to note. We had two times. We had a little bit of a snow this week. We had it on Saturday, and then we had another one a little bit later. I believe it was on Tuesday night. And anyway, both of them left a new coating over the old snow, and a new coating over the old snow is just outstanding for tracks. So besides seeing so many different kinds of birds at the bird feeder, I found tracks of so many kinds. I'm not going to get into all of them. I'll just mention a couple. The snowshoe hare tracks are very abundant right now. They are in their mating time, and yes, they really get very active. And boy, from one day to the next, there's just so many snowshoe hare tracks to see. This is following a time of about a month ago where I never saw their tracks at all. I think they just kind of went off into hiding for a while, but boy, right now they're out and very active. And then I had a great example of otter tracks this week. Otters are large members of the weasel family, associated with water. They do spend a big part of their life there. They're fabulous swimmers. They don't slow down in the wintertime. If they can find a hole in the ice, they'll go through it, and they'll swim under the ice. But they do quite well on land as well. And the place I found the otter tracks is pretty amazing. It was up in a hilly woods, but it was no doubt an otter because it did that tobogganing, that sliding that they're so famous for. And so, yes, yeah, Lisa, there is a lot going on out there. I suggest getting out and taking a look. Bundle up a bit if you're cold, but getting out and taking a look. And you know what, Lisa, take along a camera, and boy, you get some cool shots.
Well, once in a while. Oh, let me talk about that a little bit, because you stopped by, and that was wonderful, because I had a chance to show you some photographs that I'd taken and some other people had taken. One of the things that you mentioned when you're photographing tracks that are really significant is, first of all, find something that you can use for scale.
Yes.
If it's your foot or a quarter or something that you can use to indicate scale. And then you said you need to take some close-up photos. Mm-hmm. You need to take some medium photos. You need to take some wider photos pulled back, and you need to kind of see, you need to take some photos if you can to indicate where the tracks were coming from, where the tracks went off to, and those are all things that will help someone identify what the photo is of and who made the tracks and maybe what was going on.
Yeah, you said it very well there. You cannot take too many tracks. If there's a mistake that's done in doing animal tracking, it is trying to tell what it is without seeing the whole story. And so I always like to check, okay, the footprint, but also what the gait. Is it walking or hopping? Where's it going to? Where's it going from? How far, you know, things like that. Another tip about taking photos in snow is that you need to have a contrast. If you're just taking a photo of a track that's in snow, and there's no contrast, it's kind of white on white, and it's hard to see. So I like to photograph tracks on a clear day, and the clear day gives shadow to the tracks, and that shadow will give you contrast, and you can see the track much better. So, but anyway, yes, it's going to be good. In order to get really great tracks, it's always best to have a fresh snowfall. Now, one thing I did not see in the forecast is any snow.
Well, I hadn't looked out very far. One final thing, and then I promise I'll let you go. You also mentioned something really exciting coming up in a couple of weeks for folks that are interested in tracking. You want to tell us a little bit more about that?
It's not a couple of weeks. It's just about 10 days.
Most
8 days. Yeah, the Sac Zim Bog Birding Festival is taking place on the weekend of President's Weekend. It's Saturday and Sunday, starting off in Meadowlands, Minnesota, and going north from there into the bog and so forth. It attracts lots of people every year who come for the most part to see winter birds. Now, what I have been doing in recent years is to realize that there are some people who are maybe want to do something besides seeing birds. So, yes, I'll be leading a tracking walk on Sunday of that weekend. I forget the date. You probably
I want to say it's the 18th. Does that sound right to you?
That sounds fine. If you say it, it's right.
I'll double check to make sure. But it's a tracking walk on that Sunday morning, and I think you said it starts at 8.
Yeah, we'll start out at 8. We talk about what we're going to look for a little bit first in the building, and then we go out and do some walking. Now, this is not a snowshoe hike, and I have to point that out. I'm not opposed to taking snowshoe hikes, but I have learned that when you take snowshoe hikes with a group, the experience is the snowshoeing, and people start falling and start having the snowshoes come off and on like that. And they don't see the rest of the stuff. No, we will walk in snow without snowshoes.
All right. So this is a boot. This is a boot hike.
Walk.
A boot walk.
Yes.
All right. Larry, thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk with you again very, very soon.
Yeah, take care.
Larry Weber this morning, our host for Backyard Almanac here on KUMD every Friday at 8:20 on Northland Morning.